Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not sure I can keep coming up with clever things to say here. No, I'm just a Christian who, like many, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. Come away with me to another time, 2006, where a young Jared is attending culinary school late into the night, 10 p.m. or so. He has been tasked with dicing fruits and peppers, kiwi, mango, jalapeno. He's making a fruit salsa. He finishes his dices, his slices, and takes his little portion cup of this concoction to the table, where chef is tasting and testing students' creations for quality, flavor, and presentation. She looks at my salsa. She says, "Taco Bell could create more consistent cuts than these." And she's right. But Taco Bell would not do that by hand. They'd use a machine. So, anyways, she tastes it. "It's good," she says. And then she takes a little spoon and dips it into a cup of lemon sorbet. And after taking a bite of that, says, "Next." But before letting the student behind me approach, I ask what's with the lemon sorbet. "It's a palate cleanser," she tells me. "It resets the palate, allowing me to taste the next salsa without the taste of all the other salsas I've tried influencing my assessment." "Ah," I said. And then I went outside and smoked, because I did that when I was younger. It was my palate cleanser after people said mean things about my slices and dices. Now come back with me to the present day. After many years of ministry, having stepped into the many different homes of my brothers and sisters in Christ, I noticed something. First, some had no large book collections, but among those who did, some had very large collections of Christian books. And among those books, many of the same books that Christian book people seem to have. I myself was, and still kind of am, a Christian book person. Maybe you are too. In fact, I'm guessing you are. Follow my logic here. You listen to this podcast. Therefore, you likely live with a mental health challenge. Therefore, you have likely spent considerable time trying to find ways to alleviate your symptoms through extra-biblical Christian literature. Therefore, you are a big Christian book person. Am I right? Even at this moment, your mind is wandering back to your bookcase, your mind's eye settling on You Can Change, Desiring God, The Purpose-Driven Life, I Kiss, Dating Goodbye, and you're thinking, "I don't really need that one anymore," and My Utmost for His Highest, and so on and so on. People with mental health challenges, we're practically Christian book librarians, because at multiple points in our lives, we thought maybe one more book, maybe the next book, would help give us the answer that would help us to feel better. And you know what? Sometimes they really do help, and they work best when they take what Scripture says and they don't add to it or try to make it more complicated. I'm going to be honest. There's too many Christians who are taking a simple gospel and making money by making it more complicated than it is. But the good ones, they point you to Jesus. They encourage you. They chastise a little bit. And they take difficult concepts and make them easier to understand. There's some really good books out there. And those of us who are filled with self-doubt, we eat them up. We take in all of it, and even where the author brought genuine insight, shared meaningful truth, pointed us to God, those of us who are predisposed to depression and anxiety and self-doubt, we have the propensity to take it and turn it into law. We just see more rules. We just try to live up to what the book says, and we often fail miserably over and over again, leading to more depression and anxiety. Maybe the good news of the gospel, for you, has been wrapped up in so many layers of pages of the words of others, so many layers of added interpretation and extra steps and practical application, that you can't even see the good news anymore. What would Peter recommend to those of us whose brains are burdened by the abundance of Christian books we ingest so regularly? I think he'd recommend a palate cleanser, a reset from all the fruit salsa we've been reading. He might say, as he says in his first letter, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." Pure spiritual milk, God's word, unhindered by man's opinions, straight from the source. We're babies, baby. and our disposition as Christians from age 1 to age 110 should be that of an infant crying out for more. The pure spiritual milk of God's Word. The big, but simple, good news. Some of you never drink of it anymore. You're eating everything else but the most basic and foundational truths. And it's hurting your tummy. So, take a moment now to be reminded of something really, really foundational and important to our faith. Truth that your brain can really benefit from. Ready? God loves you. God loves you so much. He loves you with all of your quirks and all of your shortcomings and all of your depression and doubt and anxiety and waywardness. He delights in your silliness and rejoices in your childishness and mourns with you when you are sad and holds you when you wander and laughs with you at that joke and enjoys giving you good things like tasty food and time with friends. He treasures you and your presence. God loves you more than you can begin to imagine. Isn't that amazing? He loves you so much that he would do anything to bring you to himself. He loves you so much that he would give you his own son. Because he doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to pay the price for your own sin. He doesn't want you to sink into despair. He wants to rescue you from death. And he is, and he has. God loves you. And you, the one who's going, not me. This is for somebody else, not for me, because you don't know how screwed up I really am. No, I don't. But God does. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. His love is abundant. And so is his might. And he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Lord, for our good and for your glory, bless this brain. Listener, if you have a moment, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And during this month, we're asking that you consider making a financial gift to help us continue our important work. In addition to this podcast, we coordinate mental health first aid trainings, teach churches about the dangers of mental health stigma. We host peer support groups and help people get connected with local mental health resources. We're completely funded by the support of generous individuals like yourself. To donate, just go to blessthisbrain.com and click the dun-da-da-da, you guessed it, donate button. Thank you. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.